Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Daryl, I was surprised and that both you and Joe Thomas and others have defended this fan that spilled beer on the
players.
Just
a clown take by you, Daryl.
Well, that's a little harsh. But
I think defending and justifying or condoning are not the point I was trying to make. And that's my fault. I'll take responsibility for that. Bottom line,
yeah.
I will hear about the classlessness of a fan if he leans over the rail and spills it on the player.
Yeah.
But when the player is trying to jump into the stands of an opposing team's stadium, you get what you get. I'm not excusing the behavior. I'm not saying that what the Browns fan did was right or justified. I'm just saying, you're asking for trouble when you jump into the stands or try and jump into the stands, especially in the dog pound where they used to throw dog biscuits and batteries.
I hear you, but that should – I've heard people make that argument, Joe Thomas and others. I just think in the end, the fan behavior is wrong, and that can't be acceptable to spill beer on a player.
Well, if Joe
unless
Thomas
the player
says
is physically attacking you.
You know what? Joe Thomas agrees with me, so that's all that matters, Bull.
All right, fair enough, Darryl.
And he's bigger than us.
Fair enough.
Yes, he is.
Let's get to the debacle that was the game now. I don't know.
Where do we start, Adam?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been through this now for, 72 hours almost since the game. And still is a sour taste in my mouth, in your mouth. It's brutal.
It is.
Sour taste, Daryl.
Yeah.
Sour.
I mean, just all the air has been let out of the balloon. And now the reality
is it over, Daryl? Is the season over?
Oh, no. No. I remember back in 2007, yeah. Dustin, the Steelers came in and mopped the floor with the Browns. It was like 34-7, something like that. And the next day, Charlie Fry got traded, the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
That was an NFL first. And then Derek Anderson came on, and they ended up winning 10 games. This team has the talent to repeat that, okay? Baker's not getting traded, so that'll be the big differential here. But they have the talent to win. The frustrating part for me about Sunday is the fact that they lost their cool. All of the personal foul penalties, Myles Garrett punching a guy in the face, Greg Robinson getting kicked out because he kicked the guy in the face, missed with his left leg, landed the second one. You can't have that. And I didn't think much of it at the time, but, all the reports that came out of that joint practice with Indianapolis that I think it was a Thursday afternoon when they had to call off a special teams drill because it just turned into a 12-round boxing match. And then after practice, Freddie Kitchens was like, hey, man, I'm proud of my team for sticking up for themselves. We're not going to take anyone's guff. We're going to defend ourselves and all that. And at the time, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's a great attitude to have. Looking back on it now, you want to talk about bad takes. That was a bad take for me because you saw that on Sunday where, okay, you aren't going to take anyone's you-know-what. Well, the second guy's the guy that always gets caught, and the Browns kept getting caught, and you had Tennessee Titans talking about it in their locker room that was part of the plan. They saw they could get under the Browns' skin and see if they could generate some of those flags, and it worked to perfection. Mike Vrabel doing the old, ha-ha, strike three, you're out of there when Greg Robinson got thrown out of the game. So they need to maintain their composure and discipline. And my fear, guys, is that that's going to be easier said than done.
Can we cut that, Daryl? Ha-ha. 1, 2, 3 strikes.
Cut it.
Can we cut that, Keith? How's it going?
Yep, we'll play it like 72 hours from now.
Right, how many days has it been?
Two days? 48 hours.
Whatever.
Don't call me dangerous for nothing, Bull.
Feels like it's been 72.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Who cares?
The next game.
You guys want to bust my chops about everything?
From the king of busting chops.
I mean, I'm so nice to you guys. All I do is sit here and defend you guys on social media, on the air, and then you just want to just pick shots at me, pot shots.
Hey, blame Keith. He's the one. He gets picked on the least and makes fun of people the most, Keith.
He's a silent assassin.
Yeah, he is. He is. Daryl, I mean, the next game can't get here fast enough, right? I mean,
right.
You know, Dustin was obviously joking, saying, is it over? But we literally have fans saying they made a mistake in hiring Freddie. They should have kept Greg Williams. Well, yesterday a caller called us as if a guy who had called the offseason and said the Browns should trade Baker. I called him an idiot. And he called yesterday as if he was vindicated here. Oh. The haters feel like they're vindicated after one game. Some fans are jumping off the bandwagon. I can't believe. Listen, I know it was ugly. Could not have been worse. They were a disgrace in this game. But in the end, it's one game. I mentioned a million times. I keep saying it. The Colts allowed almost 40 to the Bengals week one last year. The Saints gave up almost 50 to the Buccaneers last year in week one.
Yep.
These things happen. Now, maybe in 4, 6, 8 weeks, these people will be proven right. But after 1 week, come on, that's absurd.
Well, and here's the thing. The reason I call this the worst week one loss in the expansion era, point spread-wise, no. Obviously, the Steelers in 1999 mopping the floor with the Browns in the return game is the worst point differential. This is actually the second in point differential. But it's the worst because of all the expectations and the fact that they have legitimate talent to win each and every single week. And, you know, they lost their cool basically in the fourth quarter, threw the game away, pardon the pun, but that's exactly what happened with Baker Mayfield and the three interceptions, one brought back for a pick six. The other two were eventually turned into, 7 points each. So, you know, a 15-13 game that was tight early in the fourth quarter turned into a laugher in a matter of like 5 minutes. I get the frustration of fans because, well, that's all this team does is lose in week one, and we tend to know what happens when they lose in week one. The seasons, you know, usually go south, and there haven't been many positive seasons that have followed. You know, 1-19-1, that's what this franchise is on opening day since coming back into the NFL. But the season's not over. I wouldn't jump off the bandwagon. I still believe they have the talent to be a playoff and a Super Bowl contender. They got to go out there and do it, though. Having talent's half the battle. But going out there and executing and getting it done on the field, that's the next step. They've got to do that. And they obviously didn't do it this past week. They laid a big rotten egg on everyone after being excited. So now you just got to throw that in the trash, forget it happened, refocus yourself, and get ready for this Monday nighter against the Jets where everybody is going to be watching, not just here in Cleveland, but around the country.
Dangerous Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. You know, a lot of blame has been put on the offensive line for the offensive struggles. And I think way too much has been put, in my opinion, Daryl. Baker had the ninth most amount of time to throw in the NFL on Sunday. I thought some of the sacks were on him. I'm not saying the offensive line was great. They certainly were not. They could play better. And obviously the Greg Robinson embarrassing kick, and then he tries to pretend like he didn't do it on purpose, which is absurd. That affected them somewhat, but Baker's got to do a better job of getting rid of the ball, which he did last year and he didn't do on Sunday.
A couple of things stood out to me after going back and just really trying to rewatch with a detailed eye. First of all, Baker stared down his receivers a little much. The safety's on him. Had he looked to his right instead of staring at the left side of the field, he had a receiver there. Now, it wouldn't have been a big hitter, but it would have gotten him out of jail and prevented the safety had he completed that pass and saw that. He did not look comfortable, understand with the shuffling up front. I thought the offensive line played okay, considering that they were down two left tackles, had to move their right tackle, Chris Hubbard, over to left tackle and bring a guy off the bench to play right tackle. I thought overall they played okay. But Baker, I think, needs to do a better job of, you know, the timing, getting the ball out quicker, and I anticipate when we speak to him later this week, those are things that he's going to mention after going back and examining the film on that. The other thing that stood out to me was I thought they tried to hit home runs too much, that maybe Baker was trying to hit the home run play, and when it wasn't there, then it turned into, oh boy, what do I do now? And that's when things broke down. Also compounding upon it, the penalties, I think they had 5 offensive holding penalties, something like that. And when you're first and 25, I think he had 8 instances where it was like 3rd and 15, something like that. That's just not a winning formula. So I do think that Baker Mayfield bears some of the blame for what took place Sunday afternoon, especially in that fourth quarter.
Daryl Ryder's with us. Daryl, let's talk about this watch thing. Because it's just bizarre that this is like an issue or this is a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's an issue because the league says it's an issue.
Okay, but number one, isn't it a little strange that you have to wear a watch when you play football?
Yes, it is. Now, in Odell's defense, like I couldn't tell you the last time I wore a watch. I don't even know if I own one.
Sometimes, you know, you wear something, you're comfortable with it. He always wears it during practice. Maybe that's the case, but like.
That's what it sounded like to me today, Dustin, just with what he said today, how he's like, I wear it in the shower, I wear it everywhere I go, whatever. I think you might.
So he feels naked with it off. He feels comfortable. I guess I kind of get that. It just seems a little weird that like you have to play football with a designer watch on.
Yeah. Well, he told us today it's plastic, so he doesn't understand why that's an issue considering other guys, you know, they have the braces that have metal in them and that. And he said those aren't necessarily always padded or taped up and whatnot. I just don't know how you pay $350,000 for a plastic watch.
It's a very high-end watch. Rafa Nadal's cost $750. It's a better one.
It's just weird that he's wearing a watch, but whatever.
And he said he's going to continue to wear it. Yeah. And if he gets fined, well, then that's on him. But I don't care. Wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
But the league is the one that cares. They're the ones that called the Browns and said, hey, 13 can't wear that. That's a violation of the rules. We'll let it slide this week, but it's got to stop. And so that's why it's a story. I know Odell was frustrated because we asked him about it today. He doesn't understand why we just can't ask football questions. Whatever. Well, it's because the league has stepped in here. Yeah. You wear whatever you want to wear, but once the league says it's an issue, it is a legitimate news story.
Adam Schefter, by the way, saying Demaryius Thomas traded from the Patriots to the Jets for a 2021 sixth-round pick. There you go. Big exciting trade. Speaking of trades, Darryl, do you think the Browns, who already traded for two offensive linemen on cutdown day, are still in the market right now?
Well, they might need a tackle now with Kendall Lamb being down, and Freddie Kitchens does not have a timetable on him, or if he does, he's not willing to share that at this particular time. So I do think there's a chance that they may need another backup tackle. Whether they are in the market for a starting offensive lineman, I hope they are, but it doesn't sound like they are, so... we'll see, but I do think that they may need to add a tackle because of that Lamb injury.
Daryl, let me ask you about this. Freddie Kitchens says, you take away the penalties, everything else was fine. Doesn't it sound like making a little bit of an excuse for the poor performance? And if it was just penalties, like you take those away, do the Browns win the game?
No, because even if I take away the penalties, what's that say about the three Baker Mayfield interceptions in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
You know, well, to be fair, the score wouldn't have been, you know, it would have been a different game with the penalty. We'll never know.
Well, but it was a 15-13 game early in the fourth quarter. It was a 2-point football game. They give up the touchdown.
True, but they might have been, had they not committed so many penalties, maybe they're winning. Well, there's no way to know.
There's no way to know. The third quarter. It was late in the third quarter. But. You know,
he played lousy football, Baker. That's the bottom line.
I mean, he did. He did not look comfortable. Wasn't reading the field all that great. Threw the three interceptions in four possessions. All three of those resulted in touchdowns. One was a pick six. I mean, that to me is where the game was lost. Yes, penalties were a major, major problem. Okay, and we've talked about it, but the quarterback play needs to be improved as well.
Yeah. All right, Daryl. Good job out of you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.